This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
It was our great pleasure. I was trying to think in my head the last time I saw Jim Kimmons, and it's been a while.
It has.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
You got your shades ready to go when the sun comes up?
Exactly.
That's an optimistic look at the day. Look, I just sun coming. Kevin and welcome back to the show. So what are you doing now? You've led quite the life.
I am I'm doing football for Fox.
Okay.
And I'm doing LIV golf.
Okay, now do you say LIV or live?
I generally say LIV.
And what is it said, like, what does Greg Norman call it?
I don't know what he calls it.
I thought maybe you might have had a chance to hear him.
That's a good question. I really don't know.
Yeah, because it's one of those weird things, like, we can't even, like, come to a common place of, like, you know, right, how the league is actually pronounced.
Well, I say LIV because it's 54.
Right.
So I basically spell it out.
All right.
I'm not sure there's a right way or a wrong way. Just like hearing people say it.
Okay. Well, listen, I got a lot of questions about that. But let's go back. When I first met you, Kevin, this was a long, long, long time ago. Your daughters were in grade school, mm-hmm. and you were trying to do a nice fundraiser thing for them in and around the St. Teresa Mega Raffle, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Kevin, pull that mic up closer, please.
But I'll stand around the NASCAR.
Yeah. And so you said you were doing NASCAR at that time, mm-hmm. for Fox. And I believe you said pick a race, and I didn't know anything about NASCAR at all. Still don't know much, but I thought, well, Las Vegas, at least the backdrop is Las Vegas. Right. No matter what the race is like, there's still Las Vegas. And so we went out there and got a whole behind the scenes deal with you and Fox and everybody. Just, you know, they couldn't have been nicer. And we ended up recording a show there on the Fox studio set, you know, from mm-hmm. the track, mm-hmm. And had access and all of that. And then we came back and you had all kinds of, you know, like card, you had all kinds of stuff to auction off and ended up making a lot of money for your kids' grade school.
We almost got hit by a car.
I didn't realize that there were green lights and red lights everywhere, and I didn't realize those guys like to drive that speed from point A to point B, right, whether it's 20 yards or 100 yards. And then I remember asking, well, who's Jimmy Johnson? That's about all I remember about that. So, wow, in between and all that, Emmy Awards and CBS and the NFL and the PGA and you know, Jim Nance, you know, what do you think?
And the dog show?
And the dog show, yeah.
Kevin. Brian, I'm not kidding you. This goes back to years and years and years ago. You know, I was doing the Super Bowl. I was doing the Final Four. I was doing all these shows. And I started doing Oprah. All of a sudden, Super Bowls didn't matter.
Why?
He does Oprah.
Yeah.
and now it's that way with the dog show.
The Westminster?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so is there, well, I have questions about that too. I just want to lay out the history here for a little bit. We're literally in the tournament. Can you imagine the tournament without Jim Nance? I mean, what are we going to be missing this year? He seems like one of the nicest dudes ever.
He is.
Yeah.
He's actually might be the nicest guy I know. He was the best man at my wedding. Actually, he was the flower girl, but, yeah, he volunteered his kids and his kids didn't want to do it. So
he
Jim
ended up,
stepped in. Yeah, it's you're not going to miss him, but you're going to miss him. It's going to be what's not there.
Right.
There's something, you know, when they roll those final credits, it's just not.
I remember you telling our guys one time, and you were very nice to do meet with some of our sports guys from across our company. And you said, you know, if you miss the shot, just move on because no one knows you missed it. Right. I mean, if they don't see it, they don't even know it was there.
Right, right.
But that's kind of the way I think it's going to be when we wrap up the Final Four and the championship game is that, yeah, the games are great and the announcers will be fantastic. But at the end, there's just something you missed that you really didn't even realize you missed.
Right.
Yeah. What a career. All right. So how in the world did you end up with LIV or Live? I mean, how does this happen?
I was trying to think the other day which hotel I was in. But, you know, I kind of saw the handwriting on the wall where I was going with the PGA. And I sent, it was semi late at night, but I sent a text to a director that I go back 40 years with. And it was a series of cryptic texts. I said, Do you know anything about LIV? He wrote back, who's asking? I wrote back, me.
Yeah.
He wrote back, interested? I wrote back, yes. I mean, these are one-word texts.
Now, and when would this have been timeline-wise?
It would have been probably January-ish of 3 years ago.
Okay.
He wrote back, hold tight.
So it's like, what, 7 words or something in total? Yeah.
And that was it. A couple weeks later, he wrote back and said, are you in? And I said, yes. And then I asked my wife.
Okay.
And she had some reservations. But
because of the traveling?
Because of the Saudi connection.
Okay. Let me ask you, we watched what was reported in the news, and we watched, you know, Full Swing on Netflix. You know, we saw sort of the division in the tour and the players. Then we watched the PGA screw this up in unimaginable ways, right? and then that sort of like got people like John Rahm and Rory, who had been, you know, very one-sided to most of this is just a mess to us from the outside looking in. What did it feel like at the time?
I can tell you that first show in London, we all kind of looked through. I was standing on the first tee with Dustin Johnson, and I'm talking to him and his brother, and I said, "Hey, just try to keep this thing going for a few more years and get me to retirement."
Yeah.
His brother punched me in the arm. He says, "I told him the same thing." And Peter Uihlein and I were walking through the woods from one hole to another, and he turned around, and this is on the first day, and he turned around and he says, "Hey, you're a PGA guy, right?" And I said, "Well, yeah." And he said, "Are you staff over here?" And I said, "As staff as you are right now."
Right.
And that's kind of where we were. I mean, nobody knew whether we were going to play twice.
Okay, so does it feel different now, or is it still sort of feel the same?
It feels very different now.
Okay.
Now it just feels like we're going to work. It's just rolling. It's the energy is building. You know, we've got Australia coming up in a few weeks.
Right.
And that was such a great scene last year. I mean, boy, and you talk about people that can drink.
Yeah.
I mean, I was impressed with some NASCAR people. I was impressed with how they do it in Green Bay. These Australians.
It's a whole different thing.
Oh, my God. It's like 8 in the morning, and this cat's sitting with 5 empties and a few freshies in line.
Okay. What is, as a cameraman, the job seems so different, right? A race car going 180 miles an hour, a guy in shorts and his own goofy logo, you know, hitting a chip shot, you know, the fan frenzy and the thunder sticks of a free throw line, you know, under the basket at the biggest game of the year. Are they all kind of the same to you? I mean, as 100%. Far as what your job is?
It's exactly the same. It's what you're listening to the announcers and you're reacting to what's going on the field or the court or whatever. And you're looking for that piece of the puzzle that either fits what they're saying or doesn't fit what they're saying. You're just trying to support them with pictures. And then every once in a while you see the piece of the puzzle that they hadn't seen yet. And that's when it's.
So then you're now adding to the story.
Right. Exactly.
All right. But do you have a favorite? I mean, like spot you'd like to be in. I remember one time we were in Indianapolis.
The 18th hole on every golf tournament.
Because it's done. I got it.
Those are long days.
Yeah, they are. But I remember vividly, like it was yesterday, we were over at Lucas in Indianapolis watching the Patriots and the Colts. And I think at that point, this is Peyton Manning and Tom Brady in their prime. They were both 10-0 or 11-0 going into the season. That was the big, you know, there wasn't a bigger game in the NFL.
Right.
And we were in the corner of the end zone, and you were down in front with the camera, and I was standing behind you just very sheepishly because Jim had told me, just stay still. If they come at you, they'll go over you or around you. If you zig and they zag, you're done. And that's so much easier said than done when you're standing there. But you just turned around and you said, how do you like my view from my office? Is that about as exciting as it gets? I mean, the NFL seems still to be king to me today.
Yes and no. I can tell you that at my advanced age, being in Hong Kong a couple weeks ago, standing on the first tee, was pretty neat.
Yeah.
You know, I can look at it now and say, this is a long way from WAND.
Yeah.
You know, I've done the football thing. I enjoy doing the football thing. I will continue to do it for as long as I'm given the opportunity. But it's kind of fun right now to go to new places, see new things.
Sure.
And be at the first step of something that's growing. You know, it's you don't get the opportunity to take the bubble wrap off of something like that very often in your career.
Will there be some mix? Will it, you know, 2 years, 3 years down the road, what will all this look like? Does anyone know?
I think the Masters is going to be a great preview.
Okay.
Of what I think I and some people envision, if they ever do get together.
Right.
It will be a Ryder Cup type situation, maybe 4 or 5 times a year, like the World Series of Golf used to be. And like I said, the Masters, I think, is shaping up to be that way. I think there are 14 live players.
Yeah, well, Kevin and I were there last year, and there were several. You know, Brooks was, you know, obviously in contention, you know, all the way to the end. It'll be interesting to see. All right, we've got to take a break. Jim Kimmins and Kevin Branney are in studios. Nick, feel free to jump into the conversation. It's going to be fun. I just want to talk about some memories and some true or false questions I have for you about, you know, things I've heard about your career. Yeah, Noel. I never know. You know, he's an Irishman salesman, right? I mean, you know, I don't know what gets exaggerated or what's actual fact, right?
I can tell you there were no felonies.
Okay, yes. Okay. All right, we know that. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Hickory Point Bank is invested in Central Illinois for the long haul, for every customer, for every community, for a strong future. They know that through charitable donations and volunteer efforts, local charities and nonprofit organizations can have a positive impact on individuals in need and improve opportunities for people in the communities we call home. At Hickory Point Bank, investing is who they are, what they are, and why they are. HPB in Action is about colleagues shaping their neighborhood and engaging with their neighbors through community giving and community action. They realize that with collective efforts, they can make real change happen in the communities in which we all work and live. Each month, Hickory Point Bank will highlight these efforts with Community Invested, a live segment with Byers & Company on WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, and podcasts available online at nowdecatur.com. Hickory Point Bank, Community Invested, member FDIC. I see.
The 2024 St. Teresa High School Mega Raffle is going on now. The fundraiser helps St. Teresa offer a faith-based education to students in our area. Tickets are now on sale, and you can have a chance to win $100,000. Take advantage of special bundles by purchasing multiple tickets, increasing your odds of winning. Early bird drawing is April 12th, and final drawing is May 24th. Buy your tickets today for a chance to win $100,000 by calling 875-7950 or online at sttmega.com.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning, and welcome back to the Wednesday edition of the show. A little later today, Tanya Andrix will be with us. We'll check in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. Kevin, before we go to the true or false segment, I would like to, you know, we know from behind the scenes how important Jim has been to this community and all of our efforts and fundraising for food banks and the food drive and Lance coming to town and doing a big thing. Tons of money. And he'll be sheepish, you know, to take any credit for that. But you know.
Yeah, it all started after a Rams-New England game, my first game ever that I got to visit with Jim or go with Jim. because his dad introduced me to Jim, and I told Jim how much I wanted to have his job when I was in high school. He said, well, come watch a game. So we did a game in St. Louis, and he let me go in the truck for a whole quarter. It was the most exciting thing I ever had done at the time. And it was all over. We're having the meal after the game. And he says, so how can you help me raise money for my old high school and let them experience what you experienced? I go, leave that to me. Next day, I call Brian. And it all started from that. You and I got together and figured out ways. And then he came up with the idea, well, what you ought to do is come out and see what I do at NASCAR. And then we'll auction that off. And it all started with St. Teresa, turned into helping Shirley Stanley out, helping out, I don't know how many different charities, but the biggest effect that it had was on our food drive.
Yeah. And so for many, many years, if you made a $500 or more donation, your name went into a drawing to win one of these experiences. And for every $500. So we had people writing $10,000 checks, to sweeten the pot.
You know what's so cool about that, Brian, is all these givers of $500 or more, they always did it without any fanfare. They just did it because they loved our food drive. To be able to call one of them up after the food drive every year, say, hey, you just want an experience to go to Dallas for Thanksgiving game or the Bears game. Every one of these big dogs, usually they're business people, would bring a kid, one of their kids. And it was a life experience for them that Jimmy and Lance provided. And I remember Steve Chastain telling me, who owned Family Drug at the time, the game hasn't even started yet. Jim gave the tours, introduced them, put them in the trucks, and we're walking out on the field. I said, so what do you think so far? He says, I already got my $1,000 worth.
Yeah.
I don't need any more. Well, the game hasn't even started.
There's a great moment that happens on the sideline of an NFL game, and I'm assuming this is true, sport to sport, where even the owners have to leave the field, mm-hmm. and you get to stay down there. It's a pretty amazing thing, because mm-hmm. there's some folks that get some access, at the very beginning. But right. once that, the time is, everybody else out, and you get to stay.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. All right, Marshall Faulk. Knocked you unconscious in the end zone.
I wasn't unconscious.
Okay.
Never been unconscious.
This is why it's true or
never
false.
Never been unconscious.
Okay. But?
But?
The collision itself?
Oh, it was a good one.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the first, and it unfortunately wasn't the last.
Was he the one that says, are you okay, little guy?
No, that was a Pittsburgh player.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it was Pittsburgh.
But no, I got hit, and I was laying on the ground, and I knew something hurt. I just didn't quite know what yet.
Yeah.
And I hear this disembodied voice, Ike Taylor, this disembodied voice from above me saying, get up, little cameraman. Get up. Shake it off. And I did get up, and I went over to him, and I said, hey, you just called me out in front of my guys.
Yeah.
And he looked at me. I said, yeah, I've got like 3 decades on you, and I'm not dressed for the day. Come on, little cameraman, get up.
What's the relationships like with the referees on the field? Because you had an infamous incident that ended up, your shot was all over everything for, weeks with Bill Parcells.
It was Rex Ryan.
No, Bill Parcells was the one. He hated the cameras.
Yeah,
hated them. And we were doing the Super Bowl in New Orleans, and they were going to announce coming out of the commercial the inductees for the Hall of Fame for the next year, and Bill was one of them, and so I was out there to shoot it, and I'm standing right in front of Bill, and we're just hanging out waiting for the commercial to end. And I said, Bill, do you want to tell me to get the hell away from you right now, or do you want to wait till we're on?
Right.
And he said, oh, no, you can stay.
But the Rex Ryan shot, him running mm-hmm. down the field, mm-hmm. people don't realize, I think, when you watch, and there's no reason to realize, but there's a whole ballet that's going on the sidelines. You've got the front of that press area, which CBS has paid a ton of money for. Mm-hmm. You got local reporters and affiliates sort of behind that. Mm-hmm. There's a line that goes around the player's bench, an area where you're not allowed to go in and out, and you can't go out on the field. So it's like this opera of like cords and cameras and people, and there's a set kind of system, you know, and you follow the action. Sometimes when you follow the action, that means going into areas you're specifically not able to go into or not supposed to be able to go into. And that got you in trouble.
It did.
So the shot's everywhere. You can't turn ESPN on without seeing Rex Ryan running down the field.
And the league took exception to me being where I was.
Right.
And
it was in the end zone after the play.
No, I thought
it was on the field during the play.
Yes.
If we want to get technical.
Yeah.
The league took exception to that and suspended me from the AFC playoff game. And which was awesome. I got to stay at home and get paid and watch it on TV. but Lance went to the league and said, you guys got to be, you're going to be making money off this shot long after these two guys are gone.
Right.
And you're going to suspend the guy that got the shot for you.
Yeah.
And I sort of interjected that if I got in trouble for what I did, technically Rex was further out on the field than I was.
Yeah, breaking the same rule.
Is he going to get suspended also?
Right.
But
it's just,
it happens.
The hypocrisies of these leagues.
Yeah.
So there's always that moment that was always interesting to me is that when they had the sort of security meeting, you know, with all the people, you know, before all the fans got there, and there's always this guy that looks the same like every town, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where do they hire these guys? I mean, it's right out of some sort of like call casting. I mean, they all look
the
exact.
They all look exactly the same. They're all about 67 years old.
Yeah. Same haircut, same mm-hmm. mustache, same, you know, mm-hmm. just scream law enforcement career, mm-hmm. you know, and they're going to lay down the rules, you know, yep. and here's what you can do. But what happens all the time is the players and the coaches break these rules constantly get in the way of you doing your job.
It's a free for all.
Yeah.
Your relationship with the referees were great and the security people. Because you did a lot of schmoozing before the game.
Oh, I got accused of running for office down there because I'd talked to everybody before the game. That was for a reason. It wasn't because I necessarily cared to share the day with them, but I knew that in the next 3 hours, I was going to break a few rules.
Right.
And I would just assume my first interaction with these people would be a good one.
Yeah.
If it takes them 15 seconds to process, well, yeah, he's breaking the rules now, but we were sharing a laugh earlier. That's the 15 seconds I needed to get the shot.
Right. And then we start all over again.
And then we start all over. and Lance's line was always, oh, I forgot.
Yeah.
He'd forget two or three times in the same game, but, oh, yeah, I forgot.
So the difference between doing a regular NFL game or even a playoff game and the Super Bowl, I mean, do you feel the responsibility? I mean, so much money
right.
involved.
There were so many shows. The Masters was this way. The Super Bowl was this way. I hated those shows.
Yeah.
Because I already had the job and all I could do is go down there and lose that job.
Right.
No, the very best football game is the first game of the year. The very worst one is the last game. Because everybody, NASCAR does it right. Daytona is their biggest race of the year. They do it first.
Right.
And then they whittle it down to something manageable. We do it the same way every week for 18 weeks or 20 weeks, whatever the season is. And then we do something completely different for the last one. You know, people show up that haven't been there all year. Brian,
the first Super Bowl I worked with Jimmy, it was the Prince, a halftime show,
and
Cirque du Soleil, post game and pregame, and usually they have an entertainment division and a football division. The entertainment guys come out during halftime, and everybody takes a break on the sports side, and then they go back and get their cameras but not Jimmy. They had Jimmy. We had to do the rehearsals starting on Wednesday for the Cirque du Soleil show, Wednesday and Thursday. Rehearsals for Prince on Friday, and then the national anthem and all the pregame entertainment stuff on Saturday. They had him working, both entertainment and sports. He never had a chance to go to the bathroom. I've never seen a guy work so hard, but it just goes to show you, they all wanted Kimmins on their show.
What's the biggest difference between CBS and Fox?
I'm trying to think of how to answer that.
Okay.
Fox is probably a decade behind CBS in the political correctness camp.
Okay.
And it's in a good way, in a good way. They're not trying to be anything other than we're just going to cover this. And yeah, it's
a much younger network, right? I mean, not the same, you know, vibe or whatever. Who's the organization you've ever worked for? I mean, you know,
not an organization. Oprah? It's an individual. No, she was nice to work with. Okay. No, it's the individuals, Brian. Yeah. It's.
But there's a culture, right? I mean, all those
cultures change.
Okay.
Individuals, I don't think change. You know, when I reached out to my director for Live. I go back 40 years to IndyCar,
right,
and CART before Indy. Artie Kempner is another one at Fox. I started with Artie. He and I started together at CBS, and that's to me at the twilight of my career, just so satisfying to go back and end my career with the same guys that I started. That's the best organization.
All right. Fair enough. Kev, when you would go have these experiences, and maybe this is a better question for Jim, handle on him. I mean, he's getting, you know, they're making him delete photos from the Prince camp. I mean, you know, he's talking his way into stadiums. Do you ever worry about...
Brian, whatever Kevin got into, I promise you, pales in comparison to the nonsense our own people get into.
Really?
And here's an example. The Rex Ryan deal.
Yeah.
At the same time, on someone from New York at CBS, an office person, had passes for his wife and two of their friends, and they, at the end of the game, were in the locker room, the New England locker room, taking pictures. So I thought, whatever I did... I'm off the hook. Yeah, it turns out they had equal time for both of us.
So everybody got the weekend off.
And my claim to fame, my biggest gratification was to get somebody like Jimmy or his boss, Pete Callander, to say, how in the world did you get us in this restaurant? And what I would like to do when I go to a game on Saturday night before the game is host dinner for any of the crew that wanted to go. Jimmy would organize them. So it could be two, it could be five. And I'd get reservations some of the nicest steakhouses in Green Bay or Denver. And we had to eat at six because these guys were in bed at eight. And so I call ahead and I'd get us in every top restaurant with people waiting in line for 45 minutes. All I did was two things. I said, CBS is coming, and I give them $100. So you greased them.
There you go.
And you dropped names. And man, we sailed into every restaurant.
So I remember, and I don't want you to say anything you don't want to say, but we've had private conversations about players or personalities or people. You know, you get to see them full time on a golf course, right? I mean, when I'm watching CBS or Live or whatever, I get to see a few seconds, you know, mm-hmm. of their play, and then I'm off to something else. You're in an NFL game. You're around these players, you know, basically, you know, the whole day, you know, the pregame, the whole thing. Are there people that we absolutely love that we shouldn't love because they're incredible jerks in real life, or vice versa?
Okay, I'll give you a great example. John Rahm.
Yeah.
Hothead.
Okay.
He hates when we show a bad shot. Like he it's hard to describe how he reacts because it sounds so petty, but let's say all of the camera people know, don't shoot him after a bad shot. Well, sometimes we don't have a choice.
Right.
He doesn't get that. It's like, you know, I personally set out to document every bad shot he made. So I want to say it was in Hong Kong, might have been Saudi, this year. But, you know, he's relatively new to the live side. And I'm standing up on the first tee with him and his caddy. And, it was in Las Vegas. And I said to his caddy, because I was going to be with him for the whole day, I said, hey, I'm just going to apologize right now for whatever I do that pisses you off for the rest of the day. And his caddy said, oh, no, this is a chance for all of us to hit the reset button. And I said, yeah, but I only know one way to do it. And that's the way I'm going to do it. And that's going to upset you at some point.
Right.
And at that point, John jumped in and he said, no, it is me that needs to apologize. You guys do a great job. It is me that apologizes. And I said, okay. And he said, no, seriously, if I say anything, you just tell me to. And there was an expletive there. And I said, yeah, I can just imagine how this is going to turn out in the office when this story gets told.
Right.
Jimmy just told John to.
Yeah.
And his caddy said, just tell me and I'll tell him.
Let me ask you about, there's this weird love affair these athletes have, a love-hate relationship, right? I mean, they want the cameras to capture all the good. They don't want the camera to capture the bad. You told me early on, heroes and goats, and you weren't talking about greatest of all time. You were talking about people who screwed up.
Right.
What you're looking for as a cameraman. How does all that balance out? I mean,
for every action, there's going to be a reaction. Somebody's just as upset at what happened with that play as that guy is happy.
Yeah.
And I don't care which it is on my sideline. I want to see it. And I go back, God, years ago to the old Dallas Stadium. And who was the linebacker for Philly? And then Reggie White.
Yeah.
Reggie was having a terrible day. Philly was just getting crushed. It was a playoff game. And I look over and I see Reggie with just his head between his knees and, you know, just. And oh, man, that's a great shot. So I just stopped and I. And he looked up and he saw me and he starts waving me off to get out of there. So I backed up 10 feet and still kept shooting him. And he saw me again and he started coming off the bench and the director said, okay, Jimmy, I think
we got it.
We got it. But he never said, okay, Reggie's upset, or he just said, we're good.
Yeah.
So I ducked out going one way and coming the other way was Don Cornelli, the greatest camera person ever. And all he saw was Reggie coming off the bench like a madman. And he stopped dead, I mean, just right in front of Reggie. And I thought Reggie was going to take his head off.
So he almost got your...
Oh, my God, did he?
Hey, he was all over Dynasty. Don was in a lot of shots.
Oh, I bet he was.
So when you watch something like that, do you feel like, I don't know if you even, maybe you're like a doctor that doesn't watch the medical shows because it has nothing to do with like what they actually do. But do you watch any of this? Like, you know, the Kevin's referring to the 10-part Apple series about the Patriots. You spent a lot of time with the Patriots.
No, I spent a lot of time. And it was kind of fun. I got to go back last year for a game. I hadn't been in New England in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of old adversaries that are now friends,
right?
they've gotten a little easier to deal with.
Yeah.
No, that's you know, I was there. I don't, for some reason, that doesn't appeal to me.
So you,
same way for the PGA show. Tried watching it, and I was there for most of it. It's like saw it.
All right. So for Liv, you know, for years at the Masters, you were on a hole, right? Like, I mean, a specific hole.
I was on three green for forever and a day.
Yeah.
And then they finally said, why do we have you on a hard camera?
Yeah.
On a green? You're not a hard camera guy. You're one of our regular handheld guys.
Right.
So that kind of got blown up.
Do you worry about AI and what that's going to mean? I mean, you keep talking about the twilight of your career, but what does all this look like 5 years from now?
You know,
with what we can do with drones.
The one thing we are doing more and more of is remote operations. Graphics and tape are going a lot to that. I don't think it's going to catch up with, it's certainly not going to catch up with me. And I mean, you just can't yet on the majority of what I do. I think they do a lot of it on tennis.
Okay.
But, you know, they didn't develop 1,000-to-1 lenses and wireless handhelds that they can get you closer to the action, to then back up and say, yeah, but what about a bunch of wide shots? You know, there's still going to be the human element. I think there's always going to be that.
Well, it's just interesting. I remember that first NASCAR race, you showing us sort of the proprietary cameras that were going in the cars, you know, that weekend. Mm-hmm. And there was a turn in Vegas that was too dangerous to put a cameraman, so they had robotic cameras, mm-hmm. you know, in that turn. And that seems like 100 years ago, right? Right. I just wonder what it looks like 5 years from now.
Well, the remote cameras, I used to do a lot of those. And we just had a conversation about this a couple of weeks ago. I said, the day that they can make my camera remote to where I can do it from my basement in my underbreeches and do 2 or 3 games on a Sunday.
You're happy.
I'm a happy guy.
I get it.
Can I sneak in a quick technical one? I was wondering, as a cameraman throughout the day, what are you capturing, like, B-roll and experiences on the way in, the way out? Or are you just, hey, it's time to go, and then commercial, I'm off, camera down? Or what is the actual work like at an event?
Okay. I did a fair amount of college this year for Fox. And that is all day. You're shooting player arrivals, bus arrivals, player warm-ups. It's all day. And in commercial, you're still shooting. The NFL is a lot more planned, I guess you could say. They have their own, we have our own E&G cameras that go out and shoot the player arrivals, that kind of stuff. So I'm kind of, for a 12 o'clock game, I'm picking up the camera about 11, I guess.
Yeah, but then, like, I know for Super Bowls and other things, you might be, like, out, if you're in Chicago shooting the bean or whatever. I mean, you're getting Chicago stuff to be able to be used in the game.
That has evolved to the point where they have specialty people to go out and shoot all of that.
Well, you used to do it. I mean, in London, you did everything.
And I'll tell you, the single best thing about LIV Golf is there's no early golf. You don't have a producer come running into the food tent and saying, hey boys, Rich Beams, 3-under through 17. Let's get out there.
Yeah.
No, it's 1 o'clock. Everybody goes. No early golf. It's good.
All right. We're out of time. I knew this would go by fast. How many Emmys?
7.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's an incredible accomplishment. Thank you. All those years ago, starting out at WAND, and now you're traveling the world with some of the greatest athletes of our time, and more importantly, documenting it, so that the generations will be watching your footage.
God, now I'm going to have to try harder.
Yeah, okay.
I was mailing it in there for a while.
Jim Kimmons, we appreciate it. Kevin, we'll see you Monday.
Monday.
All right.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.